So I'm going to share today on, the title is Don't Drop the Baton. Didn't think that was bad for me, thinking of this current season which we're in. Don't drop the baton. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul, writing to the church there, says this, verse 24, "Surely you know that many runners take part in a race, but only one of them wins the prize. Run in such a way as to win the prize. Every athlete in training submits to strict discipline in order to be crowned with a wreath that will not last. But we do it for one that will last forever. That is why I run straight for the finish line." So a bit of an Olympic theme for an Olympic season. Olympics are almost upon us. Teams are being picked. Quite surprised, actually, how late in the day it is before some people know that they're actually going to be included. But they're being picked. Captains are being appointed. Excitement is rising. And, of course, the training that the athletes have been going through for the last 4 years or so has been nearly completed. Some of us heard Pastor Bert from South Africa talk the other day about focus, about the importance of being focused, and that he was focused in everything he did, had a purpose and a reason. Well, the Apostle Paul would be hard to beat when it comes to being focused and the awareness of purpose. And maybe he had the Olympics in mind nearly 2,000 years ago when he wrote these words to the church at Corinth. And he's basically saying to the church, it's not just taking part that counts. Have you heard people say that? Very English. But it's all about winning. It's about winning. It's about finishing. It's about completing that which God has called us to. So Paul is saying, run to win the prize, the crown, the reward which you will get as a winner. Now, in a few weeks' time, of course, hopefully quite a number of athletes from Team GB will be up there receiving their awards, their medals, gold, silver, or bronze. But of course, it's just a bit of metal. It's going to fade in time. 2,000 years ago, it was a laurel wreath which they would have received. But Paul is saying, we are exhorted to finish this race, called to run, called to complete what God's called us to. And what drives us on? Not a little coin or a little medal or a laurel wreath, but what drives us on is to receive that crown, that eternal crown from the Lord, that reward which we will receive, even that commendation from him as we come into heaven. We'll hear him say, well done, you've ran the race well. Isn't that what we want to hear? Isn't that what it's about? We're in a race and we need to run it well for the Lord Jesus. But I want to consider not the normal race, if you like, not the marathon, you know, 26 miles, but more just to think about the relay race. A relay race is about a team. It's about working together. It's about giving and receiving. It's about actually the one ahead of us or in front of us who's already run part of that track, passing on the baton so that we can receive it and do our bit in the race too. Obviously, the spiritual implications in that sort of model of a race. And that's what I want to remind us about this morning. I was watching the 400-meter relay in the European Championships a few weeks ago. And Ukraine, the reigning champions and favorites, got off to a flying start. And in fact, the commentator didn't even notice. But on the first opportunity to pass on the hurdle, sorry, to pass on the baton, they dropped the baton. All that hard work and training came to an abrupt end. All of those years and months of working hard came for nothing because they dropped the baton. They missed out on Olympic qualification all because they dropped the baton. It was catastrophic for the team. Now, this isn't that particular team. Couldn't find a picture of that. This was the American team. And you can see the baton on the floor, and you can see the woman there. You know, we've lost everything that we've been training for. because the baton wasn't passed on correctly and the race continued. So my message today is, church, get hold of it and don't drop the baton. So what is this baton? Well, I'm going to look at three specific examples in a moment or two. But in more general terms, I'm thinking the baton, it's his call on our lives. It's his presence and aroma which we take with us. It's that anointing. It's heaven touching earth. That anointing which comes as we're continually full of the Holy Spirit. We've been blessed to bless. It's something we can contribute. It's something we can take with us. It's something we can pass on to others or not. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, "Many have longed to see what you see, but haven't seen it. You're a privileged generation." And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, how much more for us? With the benefit of hindsight, with the benefit of history, we can look back, we can see what Jesus accomplished, we can see what happened in those early years, all that he stood for, all that he died for. There's revelation, there's understanding come to the church, which has been growing over the centuries. We indeed are a privileged generation. We are understanding more, seeing more than what our forefathers actually saw. But we have a responsibility, not just to keep it to ourselves, but to pass it on. We must use what we've been given, or we'll lose it, Jesus says. So we need to teach, we need to disciple, we need to impart. If we keep it all to ourselves, it's like we're running that first lap. We might be the champions, we might be the fastest, we might be the best that there were. But if we drop the baton, it all comes to nothing. All of that good that God's given us comes to nothing unless we pass it on, unless we impart it, unless we share what he's given to us. The blessing would stop, the spring would dry up. Maybe a measure of revival, maybe a few souls are being saved, maybe that sense of his presence we've enjoyed so much. But unless we're prepared to take what the Lord's giving us and impart it to others, the whole purpose will be restricted. It's like we've run the first lap well, but in normal races, there's four laps to go. In the race that we're running, it's centuries. And we need to keep running until he comes back. And we don't know when that's going to be, so we need to keep passing the baton on. In 1979, Life Spring Church was formed. About 20 of us, led by two elders, Gordon and Frank. We met in a library hall on Southcote, called Southcote Fellowship at the time. Neither of them are with us now, but they were faithful to their call and passed the baton on. Their love for God, their love for church, their love for the things of the Spirit were deposits which I and others caught from them. And later on, I and others took hold of that baton. And to the best of our ability, we've passed on what we've learnt too. And of course, it's developed. We've benefited from Pioneer and Gerald Coates and a host of other ministries over the years. More recently, we've benefited from Pastor Caesar and G12 and the thrust and the emphasis which they've brought to us, as they have too have been faithful in passing on the baton, that impartation, that calling which God gave them. It might not look like the same baton that we've still got hold of 30 years ago, but it is the same. And we're still running with it. And others are running with me. And I haven't passed it on completely yet. I still think I've got a few more years of running to go. But when I let go and others get hold of it, they will continue the race. I'll know I've played my part. And that baton of faith, that baton of conquest, that baton of worship, of relationships, of love for the church, the hope of the world, of cells and disciples, of a vision to impact cities and nations, I know it will be in secure hands, because by the grace of God, I will have passed it on and others will be running with the same vision and purpose. Amen. You can see what we've got to pass on, or the race stops. But it's not finished yet. I don't know when he's going to come back. I don't think it's going to be this year. I know lots of words are saying 2012 is the end and this, that, and the other. I've got a sneaky feeling there's a whole lot more to be accomplished yet. But whenever he comes back, if it's this year, next decade, in 100 years' time, we need to have imparted something so that the race continues until on that last day, LifeSpring Church in its tens of thousands across the world will be there with hundreds of thousands of other churches bringing glory to the one who died that the world might hear the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. So I just want to talk on three illustrations of what this baton in specific terms could mean for us. And firstly, I want to suggest the baton, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians 9. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Acts 26, verse 17. Paul is recounting his testimony to King Agrippa, and he says this, this is what was said to me, I'm sending you to them, to the Gentiles, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And then he adds, so then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to this heavenly vision, to this vision from heaven. You see, Paul received a baton. And once he got hold of that baton, that revelation, that understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he just had to run with it. Revelation came to him in one moment. Up until then, he was angry. He was mad. He was filled with hatred for this gospel of Jesus Christ and all those which were responding to it. But one encounter with Jesus Christ totally turned him around and changed him. And he got hold of a baton from heaven. Jesus said to him, he said, why are you persecuting me, Saul? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But he was persecuting the people of God. And Jesus said, but that's me. When you curse the church, when you persecute the church, you're persecuting me. Hey, if we want to love Jesus, we love the church. You know, if we are critical of the church, we're critical of Jesus. We've got to be so careful how we use our words. But if we want to show love for Jesus, if we want to show our commitment, our devotion, then there's an aspect where that is expressed among the people of God because he and the church are one. He says, if you're persecuting them, you're persecuting me. That's just an aside. But Paul, he got hold of this message, and the Jews didn't respond. So he took it to the Gentiles. It was too good to keep to himself. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was left naked, hungry, broke. But nothing could stop him running this race. And towards the end of his life, he could say, I did what I was asked to do. I've completed that race which I started to run. Hallelujah. We're in a race, guys, and we've got a baton. We've got a gospel, which we need to be sharing and communicating. Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And this is the message he took. And in the process, he trained up others to take the message with him. So when in prison on one occasion, he said, I rejoice, not because of these chains I'm in, but I rejoice that though I'm in prison, the gospel is still going on because I've imparted that baton. I've given it to others to share, and the gospel is still being preached. Hallelujah. He was faithful to his call, not just running the race, but passing the baton on too. And we need to be like that. He planted lots of churches. They were similar, because he was the father of these churches. Nothing wrong with similar churches. And on one occasion, one of the churches was asking sort of questions about Paul's doctrine and his understanding. And Timothy's bringing this back to Paul. And Paul says to Timothy, "Timothy, I'm here. I'm stuck in a prison. But I've passed the baton on." Didn't quite say that. "But you know my heart. You know my teaching. You impart to that church what I would impart if I was there." You see, do you understand what I'm saying? It didn't matter to Paul now. He wasn't able to do all that he originally did. But his sons, his disciples, the churches had caught the message and they were continuing the work which he did. So the first baton I just want to suggest, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Second baton, this could be our vision. Matthew 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him, gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 disciples, and they're all mentioned there. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out. Jesus came with a vision to save the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus. Jesus came with his heart that none should perish. And for 3.5 years, Jesus modeled, taught, confronted, and encouraged 12 men so they could understand his heart, catch this vision, and run with it. Because he knew he was going to go back to heaven. And so he imparted all that was in him to these 12 men. That's why impartation is so important. Jesus didn't spend most of his time teaching the multitudes. The needs of the multitudes were too great for one man anyhow. No, he spent most of his time teaching and preparing 12 men to carry this baton after he had gone. And he was carrying this baton so they could run with it when he'd gone and reach the needs of the multitudes. Probably the hardest challenge for us is to pass on the baton well. But here, on this occasion, we see Jesus seeing the need and making the disciples aware of this need. This was Jesus beginning to pass the baton on to his 12. He saw the needs, ordinary people lost, helpless, hopeless, looking for some direction, some purpose in life. It's not a lot different from Reading today. That people think they've found a purpose. But the more you begin to talk to them and understand them, they think, well, what is the point of it all? You know, Ecclesiastes stuff comes back. You know, okay, we go to work for 60 hours a week, but what about our family? What have we accomplished? We got a house, then what? What is it all going for? They're hopeless, they're helpless, they're lost, without direction in their lives. And Jesus says to them, because Jesus was moved with compassion and he wanted to meet the needs of these multitudes, so he called his 12, and he sent them out in his name, passing the baton on, giving them what they needed to take to reach the multitudes. And we need to do the same, church. We need to catch this vision, catch this dream from God, then share it and impart it diligently. If you look through the Old Testament, the writings, you know, to do with the law, it was because, of course, they didn't have books to give. You know, it was teach your children, teach them, write them on the doorposts, write them on your foreheads, everywhere. Write down the instructions of the Lord. The decision was being made. You know, they had to do something. It wasn't, we just hope our families pick this heart up. No, they were specific about giving it. We need to be the same. We need to impart that to our families and to ourselves, that which the Lord has given to us. Passing on the baton, it's about impartation. We receive it and we pass it on, running together for a while until the time to let go and it goes on to the next generation. So church, don't drop the baton. Mums and dads, don't let it stay with you. Pass it on to your children. Cell leaders, don't just get excited about an amazing vision. pass it on to your cell. Whoever you are, whoever you are in life, get hold of what God's got. Pass it on to others so that they can run with you too. Here's a quick aside. Do you know, God is the God of generations. And the blessing comes in the third and the fourth generations, according to Scripture. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was the father of the 12. You see, the blessing came in the fourth generation in that particular case. And I think a mark of a good leader is not someone that's got a vision, not somebody that is just taking everybody with him while he's there, but a mark of a good leader, someone who's got a vision, and someone who's been able to impart that to others, who can impart it to others, who can impart it to others, so the vision continues to grow. That's why Jesus said in the Great Commission, go, make disciples, teach them to do all the things I've commanded you, which is to teach them to do all the things which I've commanded, which is to teach them, and it goes on and on and on. That's the mark of a good leader. So church, the second baton I'm putting to you, our vision to impact our town and the nations. And because they responded to Jesus, you see, if Jesus had dropped the baton, what, 120? Maybe 500 people would have been saved at the end of his ministry. But because he didn't drop the baton and passed it on to others, 3,000 people added on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 people added a few weeks later. Whole of Jerusalem turned upside. 50,000 people, they think, could have been saved within months because he passed the baton on and the vision continued. And now 2,000 years later, 2 billion people across the world call themselves Christians. But it wouldn't have happened if he dropped the baton. My last baton to encourage us with is the baton of passion and faith. Acts 4, verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that these were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Jesus had gone back to heaven, but he'd passed the baton on. They didn't only receive the truth of the gospel. They didn't only come to some understanding intellectually of what this message was all about. When the authorities noticed the people, they thought, they are just like Jesus. They're wild. They're passionate. They really believe this stuff just like Jesus did. And they took note that these people had been with Jesus. I think there's a passion, there's a heart, there's something for us to get a hold of, which is much more than, look, if you do what the Bible says, you'll be saved. It's much more than just looking at doctrine and rules and stuff. This is life. There's something to get a hold of. It's spirit. It's Holy Spirit. It's life. It's much more than structure and methodology. That's a new wine. That's a wine skin. But what we need is the life of the Spirit, the new wine coming through too. And that's what we need to be passing on to others. We need to catch that passion. I don't want dead church. You might be totally right, but if you're dead right, it just doesn't make much difference. We need to be alive with the Spirit flowing through. That's why this conference and the theme of the conference is so important. It's not just doing the stuff. It's doing the stuff with heaven coming through. It's doing the stuff with the Spirit, with passion, with life, because that's who Jesus is, full of life and full of passion too. Pastor Burt was asked this question, why do the youth keep coming back to your church? Thousands of them in South Africa. Why do they keep coming back? And he very humbly said, because of me. He said, because I'm passionate, I'm radical, I'm on fire, and the youth love that challenge, so they keep coming back for more. See, it depends on you, depends on me. How on fire are for you? John Wesley said, set me on fire. Let them come and see me burn. Because he knew if they came and saw him burn, they would catch something of the heart and the fire of heaven. Life spring. That's what God's calling us to be. Passionate people. Passionate about Jesus. Passionate about the lost. Passionate about the gospel. Passionate about the vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So guys, 3 areas. Get involved, get trained, join this race, run with us, get ready to receive the baton, get ready to get hold of the gospel, the vision that God's given us to live, and maybe for some of us die for. the baton of passion and faith, so that when we receive it, we run like Jesus ran, like Paul ran. And at the end of the days, as we've passed it on and the race continues, we say, Lord, take me. I finished that which you've given me to do. I have not been disobedient to the vision which you gave me. We need to keep hold of the baton. We need to run with it. We've got a nation to win, cities to impact with the gospel of Jesus. Amen. Amen.